You're listening to The Voice of the People on Preston FM 103.2 with me, Des Butler, and Paul O'Hara. This month's programme is the second looking at religion and personal beliefs. As usual, I'm in the studio and Paul is out and about somewhere in the sprawling metropolis that is Preston. You're listening to Preston FM 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
Here we are, it's the 23rd of February, Tuesday. The time now was, it's about quarter to nine, is it? Or 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
And I'm at the Gujarat Hindu Society, which is on South Meadow Lane, Broadgate, Preston. And I'm with the president of the Gujarat Hindu Society, Mr. Ishwar Taylor. Hi, Ishwar.
Hi, good evening.
You can't really miss this building, can you? Because it's the most beautiful. I know there are a number of different designs of churches.
Yes. Yes.
And places of worship and mosques. This particular one is very unique in its own right, isn't it? With its
Yes. The
aesthetic sculptural
Yes. Sort
of frontage, Portico, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When exactly was it built, Ishwar?
Well, the new centre has been up and running for the last 10 years,
right?
And the community had a vision prior to that,
yeah,
that they wanted a centre where they could socialise, practice Yeah. Their religion, and also have a place where young people can self-develop, and also provide educational facilities.
Yeah.
And hence, that dream came true in 1998,
right,
when we were awarded $1.7 million from the Millennium Commission.
Brilliant.
The total project cost was obviously nearly $4
million, right,
and the rest of the money had to be raised by the community.
Right.
So that's how it all came about. And that's why you see the beautiful front portico,
Yeah. Which
is, we have 200 tons of marble, which was imported from India.
Yeah.
We had craftsmen who had come over to assemble that.
Yeah.
And as you've already seen in the temple, we had artisans who had also come over. And they felt that they wanted to make this an authentic place of worship.
Yeah. In Indian tradition.
Yeah, in Indian tradition.
Yes.
And we were very fortunate for the whole team to be here during that time. And hence the beauty of the
sculptures and the actual Yeah. Visual painters for the Yeah. Ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a team of about 18 of them,
right,
who came over for over 6 months,
yeah,
to complete the work under instruction from an Indian architect.
And I hear that the artisans themselves that were used, in, as you say, as part of the historical, authentic tradition,
sure,
almost like the stonemasons in mm-hmm. medieval Europe, mm-hmm. they come from a particular line of family as well, didn't they?
Yes.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, they do. I think they are very religious people.
Yeah.
But they've been gifted by God.
Yeah.
To be able to paint ceilings, which would portray realness, and
so it's figurative,
a picture tells a bigger story,
a thousand words,
than the book.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why these pictures have been put in. So then, when we have visitors, or even our children, who want to know about a particular god, then it's easy to explain,
yeah,
and there's a story behind each particular
panel
on the ceiling,
yeah,
which makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah,
we get something like about 100 school visits a year,
yeah,
and there's always interest. But we do have a guidebook which I've given to you,
yeah,
and that has captured everything in a confined way,
yeah,
of what Hinduism is about,
right,
and how we worship,
yeah.
Hinduism can be very complicated if you want to
Yeah. Look
at it in a wider context. But as all religion, it has certain core values.
Yeah.
And that is the values which are more important.
But what are they?
Well, basically, is to be a good human being.
The living action
we're talking about. Action we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's about helping somebody else.
Yeah.
It's about doing selfless service.
Mm.
And also looking after not just your family, but the wider family.
In the community.
In the community or even in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so our actions are that we are taught from early age of giving donations. That 10% of our income should be going to either a charity or to a noble cause where somebody else can benefit.
Yeah.
What that teaches us is that we shouldn't be selfish.
Yeah.
There are lots of human beings who are a lot worse than us.
Yeah.
And we should try and share what God has given us with others. And also, if you have neighbors who are poorly or who are elderly,
yeah,
then it automatically becomes your duty,
yeah,
to sort of make sure of their well-being.
Whether they belong to Hinduism,
yes,
whether they belong to India,
anyone,
whatever.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2. The voice of the people.
Supposedly it's one of the Vedic manuscripts, and so these are, yeah, some of the oldest known human documents, aren't they?
Yes.
Especially like with respect to,
sure,
theosophy or religion,
yeah. Yeah.
That we actually have on earth, aren't they?
Yeah, we have four Vedas.
Vedas, yes.
Vedas. And the four Vedas are, it captures everything. They were written in Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Which is the oldest language in the world. Unfortunately, not everybody can read that language.
Was it about 4,500, 5,000
years? Yeah, 5,000 years.
Yeah, yeah, 5,000 years, yeah.
Basically, all of our learned saints,
yeah,
can read Sanskrit.
Yeah.
And the four Vedas gave us a way of living.
Yeah.
What is even going to happen? What is happening now,
yeah,
what is going to happen in the future, and what has happened in the past.
Yeah.
So it's got everything about scientific, astrology,
yeah,
astronomy,
numerology,
everything.
Yeah.
So all the four Vedas covers each aspect of way of living for Hindus.
Be it 5,000 years ago or in the, yeah, context of the 21st century.
And
so it still has, even though these words as a foundation, as a guiding principle,
yep,
for we as human beings,
sure,
within this thing we call existence,
yes,
those principles,
yes,
are as valid today as they were then.
They certainly are.
And what exactly are the main sort of, I take it the main one then is with respect
Bhagavad Gita.
Right. Which
Bhagavad Gita is the holy book,
yeah,
equivalent to a Bible.
Or the Quran.
Or whichever other holy books there are.
Yeah.
And it is the narration between Krishna and Arjun,
yeah,
on the battlefield of Kurukshetra,
right,
where Arjun is fighting his cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came on the battlefield, Krishna was his charioteer. He had promised that he would not pick up weapons.
Yeah.
But when they came on the battlefield, Arjuna realized that I'm going to kill my uncles, my cousins, my grandfather, and we'll be destroying our destiny.
And ourselves.
Ourselves, yeah, as well.
Yeah.
And on that basis, he is saddened and he drops his bow.
Yeah.
That's why in the temple you'll see a picture where Krishna and there's a dialogue between Krishna and Arjun. And it's at that time Krishna explains to him in 700 verses why he should pick up the bow and fight his cousins.
Yeah.
Because they had to prevent righteousness, you had to do what you had to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would be classed as a coward.
Right.
But there were sort of certain principles in there,
yeah,
that in each chapter In the Bhagavad Gita, it teaches you how to live selflessly.
Yeah.
You know, there's the word I, that I'm doing this. I think everybody has that. That's the ego.
Yeah.
Until if you want to serve God, then you have to get rid of that ego and sort of pray or serve Him with your full heart or full passion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your worship, if you think that I'm doing this and you carry that with you, which God would sort of say, hey, hang on, this man's trying to feel that he's doing it, but it's through His blessings that we are able to do what we are doing.
Where do we go? Nobody knows. I've gotta say, I'm on my way down. God give me style and give me grace. God put a smile upon my face.
As mine.
say you're on your way down when God gave you style and gave you grace and put a smile upon your face.
You're listening to Preston FM 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
But of course, we live in a world.
Yes.
In the Western world. I mean, I agree with you totally, Ishwar, but we live in a world where, in principle, and in this conversation as we're now sharing with other people, but we're fully aware of the forces that have been driven in Western philosophy and Western ideas through all the media, TV, advertising, you know, all the pulp and that. Essentially, they are communicating a totally different message. It's everything is to do with the self. Everything is to do with... You have these two forces, don't you?
Yes, of course you do.
Because, I mean, Pakpa spoke about yesterday about the ego, about selflessness, about understanding that you're part of the whole, of the holistic whole. But it's very... Because there's this other force again, isn't there?
Yes.
Trying to say no.
Yes.
You know, in a global capitalist society, there's, you know, it does cause some form of dichotomy, doesn't it?
It certainly does. But what is happening...
Could we say that's a challenge, possibly?
It is a challenge. But I think what you've got to remember, that Hinduism has already been a very tolerant religion.
Yeah.
It's a peaceful religion.
Yeah.
And what it has taught people over the years... Yeah. You know, through the yogic science and through the various other belief in astrology and astronomy, they can predict what is going to happen and how to avoid things. And we are very fortunate in Preston that we have an organization like Gujarat Hindu Society through which we are able to convey the message to not just the Hindu community, but to the wider community that, look, we can all live in harmony and there is room for everybody.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, what we got to realize that as a human being, it's our duty, wherever disasters happen, you know, just like an example, that Haiti is just a current disaster which has happened, and the community has come together and raised over £3,000to send it there. But
just in that, over the
just
last
in
week.
That particular year. But we've also raised funds for various other charities, you know, also the local charities. So the ethos we've sort of encompassed in our members is that you got to continue to live in the wider community and
see
ensure
the
bigger picture and also offer the good things of our particular faith and spread that word around so that the misunderstanding can be sort of removed from people's mind, that this faith is this and this faith is that. Until unless people understand, there's always going to be a conflict that because they're ignorant of how it's practiced,
knowledge
is power.
Yeah.
And hence the reason why we have created a guidebook, and also we have been given a Mark of Excellence award through the Northwest Tourism Association for our hospitality to people who come here.
That's fantastic. Because we spoke earlier about that. Exactly how many people as an average actually come here? I mean, there was
over the year, there's over 20,000 people, visitors, each year. And especially in summer, when the illumination's on, we have something about 40 to 50 coaches.
Yeah, Blackpool.
Yeah, who come to Blackpool. But they pay homage here.
Brilliant.
Because they come in the temple, we provide them with food, and then they make their journey to
Pilgrimage to the
Light. It's a pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage to the Light.
It is. And yes. It's an absolutely fantastic. We get thousands of appreciation letters. In fact, I can show you half a dozen stuck up on the board.
Mm.
But the center is not only used for religious purposes,
yeah.
But it's a conference center.
Yeah.
In daytime, it becomes a conference center. So there are people coming from private sector, public sector, to use the premises.
Yeah.
So this premises is not restricted just to the Hindu community.
Yeah.
It is very, very open, but we obviously ask people to respect certain aspects of the of the place.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why we've also kept the temple part as a completely separate building.
Yeah.
Which does not disturb anything which is happening here for the community.
Although it still is connected, though.
It is totally connected.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's not separated.
No.
But it's
It's part of it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
Would you say Hinduism is a monotheistic or polytheistic religion? Is it, because there's many, many different gods within it, and isn't
it? It is. I would say it's got many features.
And you have many facets, isn't it?
Many facets. But what we've said in our philosophy is that no matter who you worship, the end goal is spiritual awakeness in you.
Yeah.
Right, whether it's from Krishna, or whether it's from Rama, or whether it's from Sita, or whoever, you are not restricted to pray to one.
Yeah.
Okay. But because we live in Western world, in India, you will realize that there are temples of each sort of deities.
Yeah.
If it's Lord Rama, this could be Lord Krishna. In different villages, there'd be Goddess Shakti.
Right.
So in particular,
does that possibly cause
conflict? No, there's no conflict. There's no conflict whatsoever, because we respect all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have the option of creating your own main devotee.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, if your family is a Vishnuite, then you will follow certain patterns throughout your journey of life.
Yeah.
But if you are a Shivite, if you believe in Shiva, Lord Shiva, then you will put more emphasis on Shiva and all the holy festivals related to Shiva. But that does not mean that you'll ignore Krishna or Rama.
Right.
Because they are all interlinked.
Yeah.
We have a trinity, which is Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh.
Yeah.
Brahma is the generator.
Yeah.
Vishnu is the operator, and Mahesh is the destroyer.
Right.
So if you put G-O-D, well, it's God.
Yeah.
Okay, so they are the trinity through which all other gods come through.
Right. And with those three, is there then essentially from that trinity, that trinity makes the one, as it were?
Yes.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. Maybe, yes, indeed. No, it's okay. It's an interesting sound for the radio. But now, you also, as a part of Hinduism, they believe in... So essentially, even though there are some very complex parts, esoteric parts, metaphysical parts of Hinduism, essentially it is about, just like the Christian message, and especially with Buddhism, about karma, about causation and effect, about our living action, as it were. So you, just like Buddhism, Hinduism also believes in this principle of reincarnation.
Yes,
that this life here is just another classroom in order to learn or to take the choice of learning. Because obviously it's up to each individual, isn't it?
Sure.
Even though the guiding principles are there, you cannot force the human being to do it. That's their own divine right.
Yeah.
So you believe in this continuation until eventually you return home to
liberation.
Liberation, or as the Buddhists would call enlightenment.
Yeah, enlightenment.
Or Christians, nirvana, or heaven.
Salvation.
So the story is the same, isn't it?
The story is all the same, and at the end of the day, we believe that God has given us a human body.
Yeah.
And we are able to communicate, and we're all able to think and understand.
Yeah.
So we're given the highest form.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at animals, and they don't speak.
This is why God says in man, right. I made God in man's image, yeah, in my own image, and, yeah. and man and form.
So as a man, as a human being, do not think of yourself as I.
Yeah.
As long as you think of others and live as a family,
yeah.
You'll be able to make a contribution. What we say is that in this life, do something where people will remember you.
Yeah.
Or will cry.
For the good.
For the good.
For the creative
yes.
aspect or principle. Yes. Not yes. to remember you for the negative.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, all you've done is you've come on this earth, yeah. you've lived like an animal.
Yeah.
Once you die, yeah. nobody's even going to remember you.
You've been in the garden, you've destroyed part of it instead of planting some seeds.
Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah.
Because that's how incarnation happens.
Yeah.
So you go back into the areas where
into the ether,
you don't come back, or you don't get liberated.
Right.
Yeah, but then you'd have to take another birth.
Yeah.
In a different form.
Until you eventually...
Eventually, yeah.
So eventually everything does return to yes. the whole.
This is my church. This is where I heal my hurts. This is my church.
been brilliant doing these programs because essentially you can see this commonality between all the religions.
Sure.
But our species does have a tendency to, even though those principles are there and everybody can see the commonality, there is still division and separation, isn't there?
Of course.
Where human beings, there is a particular detail or a particular sect. I don't know what it's like when I was talking to Papa yesterday and in Christian, many Christian denominations, there are so many other branches of the original source.
Sure.
And of course, they think certain aspects of an interpretation of, you know, these holy manuscripts.
Yeah.
And then this can cause war, tension and conflict. Yes. Does that also exist within Hinduism?
Yeah, I think that is, it's on all religions.
It's a human, because it's a religion.
It's a religion, and there's always new people, new saints coming through all the time.
Yeah.
And when there are groups created, then there's always certain elements where if they are not guided by the principles of the Holy Scriptures, then there's a conflict.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's separation.
Yeah.
That, okay, they are not doing this, they're not doing this. And I think that that comes in all religion.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think, as we've said before, that religion is a path, or is a faith is a path for us to live a life where we can help others, and also respect each other, and instill good values in our younger generation.
Yeah. So it echoes into
So that. That is carried forward and for the future.
Yeah.
That they understand and feel that they are part of a wider world.
Yeah. And for the Gujarati Centre, that has happened, hasn't it? There has been. Because there are other places where they're just about filling their churches or they've closed. You know, there are certain, it's remained relatively
static,
the same. But here, probably because of the actual attitude and principles you have about, you have the one aspect of the Hindu culture and your religion, but then you have the wider issue and the overall picture of being part of the community.
Yes.
So in this particular part of the garden, if we see it as the analogy of a this seems to be growing, doesn't it? And going
to strength. Yeah, it is going from strength to strength. And I think our strap line is empowering the community.
Yeah,
and we want
whatever
to make sure no, whatever denomination, but we want to teach them the principle that we have a luncheon club for elderly on Mondays and Fridays.
What time is that?
That's between 12 and 1, 12 till 2.
12 till 2.
12 till 2 every Mondays and Fridays.
Yeah, and that's open to.
Yeah, it's open to other members who want to come as well, but obviously they have to pay a small contribution.
Yeah,
but it's all run by volunteers.
Yeah,
That is to provide a service to our elderly who are either isolated in their homes.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity for them to come to the temple,
that's great,
pray, as well as have a meal and socialize with the friends, and also be able to get some information from various agencies who come and give them information.
That's very important, isn't it? And then all the way throughout the week. Well, you said that you're open.
Yeah, we're open 7 days a week. We run a holistic program, and what is going to happen is, we also through Lancashire Gujarat Health Users Forum have organized the health mela, which is going to be on the 17th of April.
Yeah.
And this year's theme is on children's well-being.
Yeah.
We get supported through the NHS, through the hospital trust, grassroots funds, and we have a committee who looks after this. And it's an absolutely fantastic day. We get over 1,000 people coming through the doors between 10:30 and 4. And it's about preventative actions within the community. So health is also something we take it very seriously.
Yeah.
National blood donor sessions are held here on a regular basis now.
Right.
So we have various things happening throughout the year.
Yeah.
And there's also weddings, obviously, in summer when
we the season starts. That's fantastic, yeah. And listen, Ishwar, it's been fantastic meeting you. And thank you very much
What's your first name?
My name is Paul.
Paul O'Hara.
Paul O'Hara, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Lovely meeting you.
Yes, and yourself. Okay. And you have done a fantastic job here.
Well, we keep going. There.
One more thing to look at.
You're listening to Preston FM 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
diggity check yourself before you wreck yourself, because I is here with four people who is all four about something called religion. How powerful is God?
I think there is a power. I think most people at one point or another experience that power. They draw upon something that seems larger than themselves.
Can God do better stuff than David Blaine?
You're asking God to make square circles, which are impossible. God can't do impossible things. That's not a limitation on God.
There have always been magicians, and there always will be, and some of them claim to be really producing magic.
So ain't God just like an overhyped David Blaine?
No, and a lot of people would find that suggestion very offensive.
Yo, sorry.
If God has got all these amazing powers, why don't he flex it every day? Like, if he has got it flaunted, I mean, mate Dave, God should be showing his powers. Let's talk about this man, the main man, the MacDaddy of the Christian thing. What was his name again?
Jesus Christ.
Yo, that's the one with the tash and the sandals and everything.
That's the way he's portrayed in contemporary art, yes.
What day is he meant to have been born on?
We celebrate his birth on the 25th of December.
Ain't that a coincidence that he was born on Christmas Day?
No.
Why did Jesus go around with all them reindeers?
I'm not sure I've seen the same image as you've seen. I think you're confusing him with Santa Claus.
So does Jesus really exist, or is it just your father dressed up?
Yes, Jesus exists as the second person of what we believe to be the triune God.
Is it true that he was born in a stable?
It's possible. He was born in those kind of simple circumstances. No room in the inn, that sort of thing.
There was no room in the... Well, that's because it was Christmas, isn't it? Let's talk about some rituals. Why does you lot chop one of yours off?
Well, you're a little bit off target. It's a foreskin.
It's done when
we're 8 days old, so the fact is before you get a chance to grieve.
Let's talk about marriage. Would you ever marry someone who weren't the Jewish?
I wouldn't, and the reason I wouldn't is because the family that I want to create is a family that's going to have Jewish values in it.
What if she was really, really fit, though?
Doesn't matter. That's not the most important thing in life to me.
What about if Foxy Brown came in here now and said, Yomi, I want to marry you?
The answer is, if she's not Jewish or not willing to convert to Judaism, she's got her tradition, she's got her way of doing things, she should live her own life and build her own family.
Would you ever marry a Jewish girl?
I've chosen not to marry. I've chosen...
What, just to flare out?
A celibate life.
So how many months has you been celibate?
52 years next year.
So you, as a gesture of bringing us together, marry her?
There are other ways of bringing us together than marriage.
What if she was a bit fitter? Would you consider marrying her then?
I am considering marriage not at all.
But people out there, they see people as meant to be religious, behaving in an unreligious way. Ain't it hypocritical that so many nuns also work part-time as strippers?
Well, I don't think you can demonstrate that statistically. An absurd statement that you've just made.
No, it ain't. I was being at my mate Ricky C's 21st, and there was this nun that came in, and minutes later, she had a...
You just said so many nuns work as strippers, and then you said this one.
It was a part of her act. Not really who she was. Yeah.
I would really prefer that you move off this topic because I find it offensive. It's not documented by any kind of evidence.
We've got a video.
It's hearsay.
Got a video of it. We just want to say big up all yourselves. Respect. This has been well interesting. It's been deep. It's been everything. There's been times when it's been boring. But that's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's deep. Keep it real. And you lot out there, listen up to what has been said and think about it for yourself.
You're listening to Preston FM 103.2. The voice of the people, for the people, by the people.
Well, here we are. It's Monday, the 1st of March, 2010, and this is The Voice of the People on Preston 103.2 FM. And I have with me Georgina. Hi, Georgina.
Hi, Paul.
And I've got Des on the other side as well.
Hello.
Yeah. Are you making the tea, Des? Now, Georgina is a pagan, aren't you? Well, you were not just a pagan, you were also the other elements that you were believed in.
Jesus and the Egyptian system.
Yeah, and there's this element of mysticism as well, isn't there? But, so essentially, what does paganism, or all these elements, what do they essentially mean for yourself? What, you know, you've selected certain aspects of many, many different forms in a way. What does that mean for you personally?
Well, that for me is the religion that I've made for myself.
Yep.
From religions that I've learnt and looked at and taken the elements of that that I feel the most resonance with, and even though I may not like it, maybe some of it may be negative, it still feels true right. to me.
And what are the essential elements of that, do you
think? Yeah, it's
connectedness
the, the connectiveness of nature within us and through us. And around us.
Mother Earth, all creatures, the universe, everything.
Life, the universe and everything, yeah. See, I do believe that the planets do have a bearing on what happens on this Earth as well.
Electromagnetically and everything, spiritually and everything.
I don't know about the science bit. I'm not a science person, but I just think it's like... having the idea, and the universe has the idea, and it comes to fruition on the Earth.
What about free
will? As one of the many other planets, which is why they go around like they do.
Yeah, so there is a pattern to it. There is a
a
mathematics to it.
Yeah.
But then, of course, within that, we also have a choice, though, don't we?
We can take out of that with using our free will.
Yeah.
We can take from that for learning and understanding and how we live our lives and how we are with other people.
Now, you said you've not seen the film
Avatar. Entities on this plane.
But you said you've not had the chance yet to see that film Avatar, which is now the best-selling, you know, the Cameron
film. I've heard really good reports.
Well, that's a lot to do with paganism.
Yeah.
A lot to do with... It's like a...
Thank you.
A description of what's taking place, really. And do you feel that? Like, you know, there's this force that's gone to another planet, you know, and it's us, human beings. What we do is there's a particular mineral there, and we need it, because you can get loads of money for it back home. They need it to fuel certain things or whatever. And what we do is, like deforestation or whatever, we're going on this planet and exploiting it in order for us to...
Instead of managing it...
Do you think we haven't done that, we as a species? Have we not managed
it very well? We haven't managed the Earth very well at all, have we?
Do you think we've abused it?
Yeah.
We've exploited it?
Yeah.
And now
the Earth, animals, each other.
So do you think we're learning anything? Do you think we're
moving? God, I hope so.
Do you think we are?
After about 10,000 years, we should be getting somewhere by now, shouldn't we?
Of supposed civilization. Yeah. But, cheers, Des. And do you think there will be a return? Because it's very interesting that this film... So obviously within the collective psyche, as it were, there is this need. The problems that we can see with a lot of the religions upon Earth and the friction and the division and conflict that's there.
Yeah.
Why, you know, there must be something within people, like Harry Potter books and all the rest of it. They want to return to something a lot more...
Everybody likes a bit of magic, don't they? Everybody likes a bit of magic. Everybody likes the magic of Christmas.
But Avatar, they live like pagans. They live as a collective, holistic, Gaia whole. They live in a big tree, first of all. There's this massive tree. Absolutely brilliant. It's just this giant tree. And then, of course, it's cut down because they know one of the biggest... they've done their, as it were, sort of, they've got all their data, and they know that underneath the tree there's some of the most rich deposits of this particular mineral. No, so the tree has to come down, which means that, I suppose, it's a story for so many indigenous people and tribes.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
Is that not like a governing principle, though, within...
Of what?
Of life.
That it's a virus.
Not just a virus, no, but this thing of expanding. Whereas I would believe...
Yeah, but we can expand, but we should be able to do it sympathetically rather than selfishly.
How do you do that with 6.5 billion people? It's very, very difficult.
6.5 billion people don't make the decisions, though, do they?
No, and I wouldn't want the job to try and make the decisions.
Neither
for
would
them.
I, but they make decisions to, like, do things that are dangerous, or they use the technology in such a way that is underhand or whatever, when it could be used for a greater better for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, feed the world.
Yeah, but it seems to be almost, because you remember you talked about the tomatoes and the apples.
Yeah.
And if they buy, then they'll leave the apples. They'll take the best ones, but then they're not allowed to sell it. The system that we have presently upon Earth, and with the numbers of people and cost and manpower and all the rest of it, it's sort of very difficult to do that, isn't it, maintain harmony?
Well, it's all to do with money, isn't it, because... there's lots of people that would eat the apples that aren't quite as big or quite the right shape.
Mm.
But then that means that that crop will be getting spread out further than the people that want to hold it and have the power over it to sell it for the price that they want to sell it for.
Yeah. And do you think that's good?
You know, if they're selling it for £1 for £4 and somebody's giving £4 away for nothing, they won't like that, will they?
Yeah, but the message that's predominantly been spread, especially in the Western Hemisphere, and then it's been spread as well, and, you know, China has embraced a lot of those elements, is that if you want it, you can go for it. It's not for the collective whole.
Yeah.
You don't do everything for your neighbourhood. You don't give everything away.
No, you don't.
You don't help each other and all. What you do is you've got to compete, and you can go... So you can get, you know, you can have that top job, you can have the Ferrari, you can travel the world, you can take care of number one and your own line and your own family.
Well, we obviously all don't think like that, otherwise there'd be a lot more Ferraris around, wouldn't there?
No, because of the distribution of wealth. Because the distribution of wealth, there's only a few people anyway. So,
10% of the...
Is it?
The population in this country have the wealth, and the rest is shared out amongst the
90%.
The minions that are left behind.
Are we just minions then?
Oh yes, of course we are. I'd rather be a minion than one of them, that's for sure.
Do you believe there's such a thing as a God?
Yeah.
A creative
God.
You believe in God?
Yeah, I do.
As a what kind of a God is it? What kind of a God? Is it like a creative active principle within all things, or is it like a separate being somewhere in another place, like heaven? Or
no, I don't think it's a separate being as such.
So it isn't like a man with a beard or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Right.
No. It's an essence and a power, but not the kind of power that you're talking about. It's not human power.
It's divine power.
Yeah.
Divine as in holiness.
Yes.
And did it create us then?
No, because I believe in Darwin in that sense as well. I mean, I love archaeology and all that.
And evolution.
Stuff and, yeah, the dinosaurs and all that. I love all that.
Right.
Sludge.
And the proof's there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Evolution is proved in archaeology and fossils and...
Carbon dating and everything.
Yeah.
So this God, isn't it? So whereas the Christian message is that God is the creator of all things, you don't think that God is the creator of all things. He just like shuffle the pack and release all.
No, I think. How do you know it's a he anyway?
Or it? Well, I don't even say it's a he.
No.
I don't use he's or
she. It's not a he or a she, really. It's an essence, yeah. Of which natural selection becomes part of that, doesn't it?
We usually ask for people that what's your favourite song. If there's a couple of songs that you would like us to play on the radio station.
Yeah. One
what's
of
your first one, would you like?
The Doors.
And which particular song by The Doors?
The Doors, Not to Touch the Earth.
Not to touch the earth, not to see the sun. Nothing left to do but run, 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 let's run. Let's run. House upon the hill, moon is lying still. Shadows of the trees, witnessing the wild breeze. Come on, baby, run with me. Let's run. Is warm at the top of the hill. Rich are the rooms and the comforts there. Red are the arms of luxurious chairs. And you won't know a thing till you get inside.
One of the problems is that this massive leap in, because of, I mean, say parts of Africa, and the reason they have so many children is that the mortality rate is so high.
Absolutely, yeah.
That if they don't have 12 children or something, maybe one of them will survive to become an adult.
Yeah.
So there's a natural...
I think it's a natural, survival thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but now that there's 6.5 billion people on the planet...
That's basically the point there. There's far too many people on this planet.
And everything's so fast.
Yeah.
Then the principles of paganism, whereby we all lived in like small communities where the population was, I don't know, 500 million.
Yeah.
Because it was only a billion about the early 1800s. Yeah. So when it was only, say, well, I don't know,
a few
3,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, you know.
Well, they'd live in little towns of up to about 12,000 people then, weren't there? That was a big town then, about 12,000 people. When you watch Time Team, and things like that, they kind of relate it around that kind of number, don't they? Like a big town would be about 12,000 people, I think.
But there is a correlation there, isn't there? If you've only got, like, if there is a small group of human beings on the Earth, right, which there was, and because of that, there's far more space. The community is far more close-knit.
Yeah.
It's almost like a tribe.
Yeah, yeah.
Than the
well,
natural,
it's a tribe, isn't
it? The natural instinctive survival mechanism is that there is a closer link between the tribe, between the feminine and the male, between the harvest and the seed and everything else, the growth, the migration of the birds, and the signifiers of nature was far more profound and important to the people of yesterday. It's like now we live.
It depends where you live now, though, doesn't it?
Well, there isn't, like, how many... Where is
If you still lived in Africa and you still give birth to 12 children, that's because government won't help you, so therefore you might still lose 11 of them, even in this day and age. Mm-hmm. So you still... We all have that connection, some more intensely than others.
Yeah.
Everybody has it, but a lot of people push it away because, it's gone, it's, you know, history, it's...
Well, because...
It doesn't relate to today. Well, of course it relates to today. Because we're all still human beings and we all still have that essence of connection in our genes and in our DNA from thousands of years ago.